No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Keith. We are your crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information here on Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Captain Dennis taking a break this week. Captain Ed is down on the farm, or up on the farm, I guess. Where is he at exactly?
He's in Illinois.
Illinois.
Kind of just south of the Chicago area.
Yeah.
Outside of Peoria area.
But he's on a tractor.
He's on a tractor. He's Captain Tractor today.
Yeah. Captain, he is literally bringing in the harvest.
Yes, he is.
Well, what is he harvesting? Do we know? Beans?
Beans.
Weed?
Yeah, he's, well, he says he's harvesting beans, yeah. So, you know.
Which is code. It's a four-letter word, you know.
Could very well
weed,
be.
Weed, beans.
I've never checked it out, so maybe I should find out a little bit more about
know.
My,
I don't
my
think
business
we
partner.
Want to,
what do you think?
I don't think we want to know. I mean, that would just be bad, knowing that kind of stuff. But regardless, he's threatened to join us during the show today, literally from the chair of the tractor. So we'll see if we can
got it rough, you know what I mean?
That'd be radio gold.
Air-conditioned cab.
We make it happen.
And, you know.
Yeah. His own little mobile studio on top of a tractor. So we'll see if we can make that happen. Also, Mitch Biggs, who is a military pilot. He's done all kinds of stuff in the industry. He is going to join us a little bit later on, and we're going to get into some of the nuts and bolts of military aircraft, possibly, and some of his background and how it potentially translates into general aviation stuff. But first, we must correct Captain Keith. This is from a couple weeks ago, and a listener replied and said, Keith was wrong when he said you need an ATP license to fly a plane over 12,500 pounds. And I also fly a Challenger. I have 3 type ratings and a commercial license since I am flying commercially. You only need a commercial license.
That is true.
The A in ATP stands for airline, and you only need an ATP license to fly for the airlines.
I stand corrected.
Yeah.
He was right. I was wrong.
Wow. We got this on tape.
You got it on tape.
Yeah. So,
see, I can admit, Greg, when I'm wrong.
Well, okay. That is a flaw that you obviously have that I don't necessarily want to replicate. But regardless, I accept.
Does that make me less of a man, Greg, because I admitted that I was wrong?
I believe so, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, but he does thank us for the weekly entertainment, even though you were wrong. And let's see, I'm going to add in here. He didn't say this, but I think what he's trying to say is you were wrong, Greg was right. That's what I'm going with. And
I'll let you go with
that. You stand corrected.
I stand corrected. He was right.
Yeah.
He was right.
How did you make that mistake? What happened?
I think I was just thinking, instead of thinking type rating, I was thinking ATP.
Okay.
Yeah, just.
You just had a brain fart.
Yes.
Okay, so you knew the answer. You just didn't verbally express it correctly.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So he's right. I was wrong in how I stated it.
Okay. Yeah. How many times do we got to hear that you were wrong?
I just want you to know that I was wrong. That's all.
All right. You're not supposed to do that. That's bad politics. You're never supposed to admit you're wrong.
Well, I don't do politics, so.
Well, okay, maybe that's it. Neither do I, but I never admit I'm wrong either.
Well, that's.
So, I'm right even when I'm wrong, just for the record.
Well, we'll talk to your wife
about
that.
I'm running for president. Did I mention that? No, okay. Moving on. Anyway, all right, so now we know that, you know, we're on
that
the.
That I can make mistakes.
It is, I don't know, does that potentially, you know, screw with my faith in you as a flight instructor?
Well, you know, in life,
yeah,
disappointments are unavoidable.
Okay.
However, how you handle those disappointments is a choice.
Hmm. Right.
So you have a choice. If I have disappointed you, you have a choice in how you, if that lowers your faith in me, or if you choose to just disregard it since I admitted I was wrong, and move on.
Okay, I'll just move on, but I will keep it handy just in case I need to pull it out there when you say, Greg, you did this wrong. That was, you should have went around. I was like, wait, well, what if you were just incorrect in your analysis there, Captain Keith?
We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Okay.
Yeah, because I would never make a mistake like that regardless anyway.
Sure. Yeah.
Because okay. I always do exactly what he tells me to do. You know, anyway, moving on. We got some other stuff that'll keep people from making mistakes. Well, I don't know, at least mechanically or manually. So I come across this story. This is pretty wild stuff because they're saying now it's possible to telepathically communicate with your airplane. So this is based on research from 2015 that allowed a paralyzed woman.
So you are not talking Bluetooth here.
This is like Bluetooth 6.0 or something. I don't know. We're at 5 right now, I believe, according to the latest iPhone event that I was watching. But this is maybe down the road. But anyway, so this is literally based on research from 2015 that allowed a paralyzed woman to steer a virtual F-35 Joint Strike Fighter with only a small surgically implanted microchip. So now they're saying they're scaling this technology up to allow a user to steer multiple jets at once with their brain. Or, well, with this sensor helmet thing. They got a picture of this guy, like, you know, covered in electrodes. It's like right out of Young Frankenstein or something, you know?
So do you have to be good at multitasking if you're going to steer multiple airplanes?
Well, I'm not sure the whole thing with I'd be happy
with one. Scientists have said for years that you're not very good at multitasking. Even if you think you are, they say you're really not.
Yeah, well.
Some tasks are going to suffer.
I would assume they would start with one, but why it's multiple airplanes at once, it has something to do with some crazy technology that they're doing.
Maybe they're formation flying.
Yeah, well, they're starting with drones. They want to do it with drones first. But the fact that they could do this, like you could put a helmet on your head with a bunch of electrodes, you know, basically, you know, an aluminum foil helmet, and it picks up your brain waves and allows you to, you know, operate the controls
so
telepathically. That is freaking cool, man.
So this woman that did this,
yeah,
was she a pilot prior to being paralyzed?
I have no idea. And it was a flight simulator type thing she was doing. So she might have just played a video game. And this was back in 2015.
So that's a couple of years. That's 3 years ago.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So now, you know, all you're putting on this aluminum foil, you know, crazy hat. And you can operate a drone or just by thinking, like, hey, go check out the neighbor.
I don't want to do a drone. I want to do the
F-35. Sunbathing by the pool. What's that?
I want to do the F-35.
Well, that would be pretty cool. But that, once again, that was a flight sim. That wasn't a real plane. They're going to start with drones. And then, obviously, that could translate into your airplane. But how would that affect your flight training? Like, as a flight instructor, if they start coming out with this technology, all you got to think it. And you'll do it. I would kind of like that because there's a lot of things I think I want to do when I'm in the airplane that my hands, mouth, and everything else don't want to cooperate. You know, there's like.
So I guess we'll have to take the sports analogy here and go with teaching hand-eye coordination. You're going to play handball for a while to make sure that your eyes and hands and everything are coordinated.
Well, or you just skip that, you know, skip the middleman. And go right to the brain, and this allows you to do that. And so it can make all that other stuff we have to learn, you know, worthless. Because all we're going to have to do is think it. You know, your flight training would involve, like, watching the first season of the original Star Trek series, basically, is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He doesn't watch TV.
Wasn't there a nursery rhyme years ago, Little Engine That Could? Is this going to be like the little airplane that could?
How so? What do you mean?
I think I can. So
if you think you can,
it'll do it.
I would assume so. I mean, if the computer can, you know, pick up your brain waves and like, okay, he wants to do this. He doesn't have any clue on how to do it, but I do. And let me take what he's thinking and put it into action and make it happen. I'm telling you, this could be a game changer. And if I wait long enough, it's probably going to catch up before I get my pilot certificate. But I swear, I'm not waiting on that.
Well,
I'm
then just you saying, could just think about it, Greg, like you've been doing for the last 3 years.
Well, that's okay. See? You know, think it and it will come or something like that. I don't know. I love
build
this
it and they will come.
Yeah, but if you think it, you don't have to build it. You kind of skip the middleman once again. Technology is doing all this stuff for us. That might be part of the new iPhone XS that they debuted this week. I don't know. It's going to pick up on our brain waves. And it'll just be a microchip instead of a thing you got to hold in your hand.
Does Google have anything to do with this?
No, it's Apple. That would be an Apple thing.
All right. So
technology's taking over and could be good, or it could basically, we're going to be all mindless computer-generated humans soon. Ed's up next from the tractor. Stay close to Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Need to replace that old Garmin? Need a new GPS for your plane? No matter what you fly, Avidyne has you covered. Since 1994, Avidyne's been a market leader in the design of intuitive displays in avionics. The mission has always been to use innovative technology to improve safety and increase aircraft utility. Go to Avidyne.com to find a dealer in the solution for you. That's Avidyne.com or call 1-800-AVIDYNE. Avidyne, for pilots that know the difference.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Hey, hold the door! Hold that door! What? Hold the door! What?
I'm so sorry.
That's my flight to Los Angeles.
I'm on that flight. You just missed it.
Look, I made the plane. I'm here.
You were so close, but unfortunately, the door is locked and closed.
You're not letting me on the plane?
I know it's frustrating, but once the door closes, that's it. Federal regulations.
Please, let me in here. It's so ridiculous. There's the plane right there.
But really, it's as if the plane's not there.
What? Are you a magician?
No, but the door is locked.
I see the plane. If you're doing a trick. It's not a good trick.
It's such a shame. They will miss this plane. 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 I don't want to leave, but I need to.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith. And we do have Captain Ed right now from the cockpit of a tractor. I believe.
That is not an air tractor.
It is not an air tractor. You're not flying, are you, Ed?
No, it's not an air tractor. And it would be the cab of a tractor, not the cockpit.
Well, you're a pilot in command of a tractor, so why not call it a cockpit? Why not?
Okay, fine. Whatever you say, Greg.
Yeah. Are you operating your tractor with your brain waves?
No, I'm not. I'm not driving the tractor with my brain waves.
You should. You could.
I could. Yeah. You could today.
Yeah, so the technology could take over. It would apply to flying vehicles and potentially tractors. So what are you harvesting? Yeah. Are you harvesting legal things? Are you allowed to say?
Yes. Number two, corn.
Number two,
corn. That, Number two corn. It's that stuff that goes in your cereal, because I know you like your cereal so much.
So that's like crack corn or crap corn? I don't know.
No, it's not crap corn.
Well, you said number two. That's, I don't know. But anyway, all right, we'll leave it at that. But so you're in the cab of a tractor harvesting stuff up on the outskirts of Chicago. Is that right?
I would not say we're on the outskirts of Chicago. It's at least 130 miles away, and we try to distance ourselves as much as we can from Chicago, and you know, but we're from this little place outside of Chicago called Illinois.
Ah, okay. Well, that would work, I guess, too. Outside of firing range.
He's trying to stay politically correct here. That's what he's trying to do.
He's operating a lot of controls, it sounds like. I guess you have to do that. Do you find operating a tractor similar to flying an airplane? Is it easier or harder?
What do you think? Easier in some ways, harder in others.
Yeah? But do you find any similarities or totally different operating procedures? I would have think there'd be some crossover there, wouldn't there?
There are little similarities. We got differential braking, like in the airplane.
Yeah.
You know, when you operate any vehicle, you got to understand your boundaries and as far as how wide it is, turning radius, just like in the airplane. You know, wingtips. You got to make sure they're clear. I got a auger hanging off one side of the wagon that I got to make sure I don't hit power lines with or power poles with. So a lot of the same stuff.
Okay. This is some big machinery you're operating there, it sounds like to me.
Yeah, it's a John Deere 8320. And I've got about a 500 bushel auger wagon behind me. And I pull in formation with the combine, and they dump grain into the auger wagon. Then I take it up and put it in the regular wagon. They haul that over to the elevator.
Okay. All right. So he's harvesting today. So do you got any airplanes around you that have been like flying pesticides over you showering
in? No, that'd be earlier in the year. There was one that was flying earlier in the year. My dad told me a story about came underneath the power lines, then over the house. I don't know if that's true because it's really not a very big space for them to do that, but who knows. But I did see four Stearmans yesterday flying towards downtown Streeter, which is my hometown. So it was kind of neat. I stopped and watched those. They were in formation.
What were they doing? Just out doing a pleasure flight kind of thing, you think?
I have no idea. I was at least 1,500 feet below them, maybe 2,000 feet below them. I couldn't talk to them.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's true.
Well, you know,
too.
We're not paying you to sit and watch airplanes. We're paying you to get that harvest taken care of.
Are we paying them to do that?
Okay, Dad.
I don't really like corn. I prefer him being.
That would be
here.
Something my dad would say.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, but you're having fun regardless, even though you're on the ground, yeah. I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're seeing some cool airplanes.
This is my second passion.
Your second passion besides teaching people how to fly airplanes riding on a tractor?
Well, oh, yeah. Helping his dad.
Well, helping his dad. Okay. That's admirable. All right. Do you got a farmer's tan? You're in a cab, so you're not getting any sun.
I've always had a farmer's tan. Anytime I'm in Florida, I'm outside. I don't have a shirt off, so I have a farmer's tan perpetually.
Okay.
Yes, I'm in an air-conditioned cab tractor.
Yeah.
In fact, when I got up here, the air conditioning wasn't working, and it's been warm, so they went ahead and got it fixed because I figured I'd leave if it wasn't air-conditioned. And all they're probably right.
All right. Well, fair enough. I mean, I think it could have turned into a sweat box, you know, like a sauna.
The problem is these new tractors, the windows don't open. Used to be you could just open up the windows. These newer ones don't even have the ability to do that.
See, now last year you sent me a picture of you on a tractor without
a
cab on it.
Combine's alongside me, so I've got to pick up the speed here a little bit, so you'll probably hear the engine a little louder now.
Okay. All right, fair enough. But what were you saying, Keith? I don't think he heard you.
Last year he sent me a picture of him on a tractor without a cab.
Yeah.
Trying to tell me that he was working so hard out in the heat and all those kinds of things.
Right.
See, I think he just took that thing for a ride. In what
that
he's
was
really
one of the fun tractors I got to drive last year.
Uh-huh.
That's more fun than this, but I just don't want to be on it all day long.
Got it. All right. Well, he's got AC, so it's not like he's in a Skyhawk without AC and has to pop the window open for some air.
Right. So this means that he can work longer hours because he's not going to get fatigued because he's got air conditioning.
Right. He's got air conditioning. He's probably got lights. He can work well into the nighttime hours, right,
Ed? You know, I'm not the one that usually calls it quits early. I'm farming with an 83-year-old and a 67-year-old.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. So basically they're pushing him to perform better as well. Is that what he's saying, Keith?
Yes.
I thought so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll let you get back to it then, Ed. Fly that tractor, okay?
Straight.
Yeah. I think we lost him. Yeah, we lost him. That was enough. It's all it took. And now there's a weird pattern in the field of harvest.
Oh, so that's how that happens.
He's doing crazy eights or no, chandelles or something through the... you know, through the crop of corn.
Lazy eights is what you were.
Oh, that's what,
what you were trying.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
See, uh-huh. Once again, if we had that technology where telepathically it would just announce what I was thinking, it would come out correctly. But until that technology, takes hold.
Yeah, I wonder how that would work because you were really thinking crazy eights when it should have been lazy eights. But, you know, I wonder if it would actually correct for that.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing. With that type of technology, there are some caveats to it because, you know, for guys who are flying an airplane with their brain and then, you know, what is it? Every 6 seconds, boobs. You know,
right, yeah,
what's going to happen? You know, you're going to deviate constantly or something and it could create some issues. So they're going to have to put in some filters. And the brainwave thinking sensors that they make you put on that hat.
That's a good thought. I think that's very
I think
true.
It's a disturbing thought, actually.
Well, it's coming from you, so it's normal.
I'm just saying, you know, it's that you got to think about that. You know, they're going to take over the world, and then say, yeah, okay, we know what he's thinking. We don't want to.
So what if
that.
A woman's flying? Then what do they got? What kind of filters do they have to put in?
Hopefully, boobs. That's just a wishful guy thinking that what she would be thinking, which probably isn't accurate.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio, Greg and co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith. Ed's out on the tractor, Dennis taking a break. Captain Mitch, however, is going to join us here in just a bit, but Keith does have some aviation news and information mixed in with all the other nonsense that I've thrown at the table or wall here so far. But you have something about flying cars?
The Switchblade.
The Switchblade flying car. I remember seeing the prototype of that. I believe it was at Sun and Fun a few years ago.
It was, and it was at EAA this year.
Okay.
Oshkosh.
So what's going on?
And they were, according to this article, they were very, very busy. People coming in even after they closed and before they opened in the morning. And they are now up to 800 orders.
Wow. That is impressive.
That is very impressive.
How many do they expect to build, you know, by the end of the year?
Well, they haven't started production just
I didn't
yet.
Think so.
So, but yeah. Yeah.
If I remember, it's been probably 3 years since we've seen that thing, you know, like a prototype at Sun and Fun.
I think it was 3 years ago.
So, but are they saying they're getting close or they're just saying, hey, we got 800 people that have been willing to give us money so far?
Didn't really see that in the article, so...
Yeah, so they have 800 people that have been willing to give them money. I'll tell you, you know, even 3 years ago, I was impressed with it. I mean, you could tell they were looking for investors and people to back the idea, and it was kind of a sleek tube-looking type of device, and you press a button and the wings come out or something and fold out. So it did look very, very cool, very Jetson-like, and I'm like, hey, this could be the future. Am I one of those 800 people? No. I'm not an early adopter in that technology, even though I want the flying car. I do want it. I just wish they'd hurry up and get it done already. When you see one, that's going to be the game changer.
Is that when you're going to order yours?
Well, with your credit card, of course I am.
Yeah. Of course.
Actually,
yes.
we can make it 801 today. What do you say?
Yeah, I'm not on that game plan yet.
What are they charging? Does it say?
It doesn't say what they're charging.
Yeah, because I'm guessing it isn't cheap.
Yeah.
But a flying car. Come on, think of all the points that you would get on your credit card if you let me borrow it just for 15 minutes.
Make it a truck or a motorcycle, and then maybe I'll think about it.
A flying truck, and you're in.
Yeah.
All right, send
or
them
a motorcycle.
Email. Or, okay, more. Actually, there's some guys doing that in Utah, I think. Yes. So it could happen. More coming up. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Oh my God, we're in the air. I love airplanes.
I am a captain in the Civil Air Patrol, the Air Force Auxiliary, so I am a huge fan of airplanes.
The louder you guys.
Beautiful. They don't get to be in airplanes as much as I do.
So it was really fun
to watch their faces. I appreciate it because it's looking at the world through a different perspective. You see everything in a whole new light.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith. And we are now joined by Mitch Biggs. Mitch is a, he's a very accomplished pilot, but he's out on the beach just sunning right now. Obviously not where Florence is hanging out. So, by the way, our hearts and prayers are out, you know, thinking of those folks up there, and we'll find out more about that next week. But you're over on the west coast of Florida, just literally hanging out in a lawn chair on the beach. Is that right, Mitch?
Yeah, well, actually, I did get up to walk away so you wouldn't hear the ocean crashing and,
so
get away
soothing
from some of the ruckus, but you probably hear some birds in the background.
All right, well, that'll work, too. That'll just put us in the right frame of mind. Now, Mitch has a lot of military background. Before he got into general aviation stuff, you were flying, like, what, F-35s? Or I don't know, which one? Which fighter thing were you doing?
Well, yeah, to kind of put that in perspective, I went to the Air Force Academy and went through their program. Then I went to pilot training, and then from there you go through a whole series of courses. And I was fortunate enough to do well there, and then go fly the F-15, not the F-35.
So right,
I flew all models A, B, C, D, and E of the F-15, and stayed in the Air Force for about 14 years.
Okay, but that was pretty high tech stuff, and you know, it's just coming to light now that we're going to be able to operate our airplanes with our brain waves. Were you doing that in the military, or if you told us that, you'd have to kill us, kind of thing? I'm guessing.
No, we started getting into helmet mounted sights and fighter data link. But certainly not reading my mind. That would be dangerous.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think we illustrated that pretty well earlier, because that would be some problems with all the thoughts going through my head.
Or lack thereof.
There's some very interesting dates coming up. Like, well, for tomorrow, you celebrate September 16th very uniquely. Because why?
Yeah, you're cut out just a little bit, but I heard on September 16th, actually back in 1991, mm-hmm. Anybody wants to Google it for F-15 accidents, I ended up in a flat spin with a student over the desert of Arizona, and so ejected, and so every 16th of September, I go and have a moment of silence and a shot of vodka and happy to be alive.
Wow.
So you're the guy that the movie Top Gun was made after, right?
That was him?
Well, yeah, Top Gun came out well before my accident, but it was a very similar thing. It wasn't wake turbulence, but it was a flat spin and goose lived.
Wow. Okay, so wait. So you were in an F-15?
Correct.
But you were teaching, or you were the student?
No, I was the flight instructor, and so I was I'm not sure how many of your listeners really understand what goes around. I mean, we spend a lot of time training in the air. It's not just a joyride in military, and a lot of it's scripted. And they're basically, in my day, in air-to-air combat, there were three weapon systems that you can employ in air-to-air combat. So mm-hmm. One was the gun. It's a 20-millimeter. It shoot about 900 rounds. It had 900 rounds, and you had about 5 or 6 seconds of gun time to shoot somebody. So that was a kind of a 3,000-foot setup. That was the extent of when a bullet is no longer supersonic and has the impact to penetrate the other airplane. So that was one. The second one are IR missiles, infrared heat-seeking missiles, and those are sidewinders. They call them AIM-9s. And those go off of the heat signature of the engine. You get a tone, you uncage the missile, and it goes and it does its trick. And so that's about a 6,000 foot setup, which is about a mile.
Mm-hmm.
And then the longer range missiles, which we used to shoot what we were called BVR, which is beyond visual range, you could shoot in a look down, shoot down with a pulse Doppler radar, but in a visual environment, we would set up at about 9,000 to 12,000 feet, and we would try and defeat that missile. So the premise was, as an F-15 air superiority fighter pilot bringing a lot of Eagles to the merge, you're going to scare a lot of people and kill a lot of people prior to seeing them because of all the intelligence and all the systems we had on board.
Mm-hmm.
However, some of those guys, because we're outnumbered, are going to make it to what we call the merge. That's once you pass beak to beak and you can like see the whites of their eyes. And so then you end up in a dogfight like the old days. And so
right.
You had those three weapon systems, and we always trained in that visual environment for those three weapons and how to defeat them and how to deploy them. And to your question, I was an instructor, and I had a student with an instructor behind me, and I was demonstrating how to jam the 3,000 foot setup, which is a gun scenario. So he was trying to shoot the gun. It's all tape, and we go through it. We're not shooting real bullets, obviously, at friendly fire. But it's and there's telemetry on there to where you can figure out where the nose was. Was it a valid kill? Was it, you know, there's a lot of assessments that go on through there. And so I was creating closure, which creates a problem for the student. And they are supposed to recognize it, preserve their space, and then they could continue to prosecute the attack. Well, when I did that, I flipped the airplane around pretty violently. And from that point, it ended up in on a flat spin. So that's how that happened.
Wow. I mean, he sounds like he just described like the opening scene of Top Gun.
Right.
I mean, that's the only thing I can relate to. But that's crazy stuff. So the plane goes into a spin. How many seconds do you have before you realize, hey, we gotta eject? Well, I mean, how did that go down?
So that's an interesting question. And I got you, but one of the additional duties you have, not only is flying, is you might be the scheduler, you might be a flight commander, you might be you know, multitude of tasks within the squadron in addition to flying. And one of my duties was what they called the life support officer. And so I was a subject matter expert in the ejection seat and what to do once you get on the ground. How do you survive? How do you do survival and, you know, resistance and escape in a combat situation? And so I felt I knew the seat extremely well. And so I'm sitting there in that flat spin, and I know what the book answer is on when you need to go out and what my sink rate was, and I give myself a cushion. And personally, I believe that I was being very conservative for the student, because my number one concern was his life, because he's this third ride in the airplane. He has no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
And so I was being conservative. In retrospect, if it wasn't for him, I'd probably be dead today, because I delayed that ejection in my mind to where I thought was a safe thing. But because of my sink rate and because the velocity vector, when you're on a flat spin, you're going straight down. It's like an elevator going straight down. And that seat has to overcome that sink rate, and it goes straight up. Well, imagine an F-15, as soon as it hits the ground, which is the thing I didn't really think about, but it makes a lot of sense now, it's full of gas and it explodes.
Yeah.
So then you have this huge fireball.
Yeah. Right.
And now that fireball is convective energy, and it expands and then it pulls into the middle. Well, even though I got a good shoot, I'm in this smoke fireball and it's like, okay, great, I've got a shoot. Now the problem is, you know, I'm going to end up burning alive because I'm going straight into there.
Hmm.
So in that scenario, sometimes you do it with power lines or other things, but I could cut some lines on my risers and it would increase my sink rate but give me more forward velocity. So that's what I did. and I was able to get outside of the fireball. And then as soon as the smoke cleared, I was maybe about 20 feet above the ground. The landscape in the desert of Arizona, there's nothing but saguaro cactus everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so now I think I'm going to get, you know, a cactus enema as I'm trying to figure out where am I going to put this, you know, put myself on the ground. So, wow. But it all worked out. And my student, I found him. And then from there, it was a matter of talking to my wingman who was in the air coordinating search and rescue and getting picked up, which is a whole other story that's very interesting because I landed on an Indian reservation and I made some folks very angry.
They were angry that you had blown up a plane on their property?
Oh,
I can't
yeah.
imagine why.
I see this F-150. It was probably about vintage, you know, 1975 coming ripping through the desert, and I could tell they were headed towards me, and I was like, great, somebody saw the accident, they're coming to see if we're all right. And this guy had a revolver sitting in his front seat yeah. with about a 12-pack of beer, about half of which was already consumed, and he started swearing at me that I intentionally tried to hit his village, which was nowhere to be seen. We had weapons, but in peacetime, we did not load them. So,
well, you just blew yours up, I think, is what happened there, Mitch. All right, look, great stuff. We got more with Captain Mitch Biggs next on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Hey, I'm Scott Fitzgerald. You probably don't recognize me because I'm in corporate.
So am I. This is corporate.
Little too much so, if you ask me. I try to have fun, right? I mean, you know, we're not landing planes here.
Our company manufactures aircraft landing gear systems.
Yep. Uh-huh. Well, I am going to fly us over a few more drinks.
I'm just sitting out here watching airplanes take off.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Keith, and we have Captain Mitch Biggs, who just gave a crazy account of being ejected out of his F-15 fighter jet. That's crazy. And your first civilian that you see wasn't there to say, "Hey, you okay?" He put you in his sights, and but you worked. Obviously, it worked out okay because you're talking to us today. But it didn't go quite as you know. You had several hurdles you had to get over after you got down on the ground safely. It sounds like, huh?
Well, certainly. And then for there, you can imagine, you know, in my day, it was about a $42 million airplane. I'm sure they're a lot more expensive today. And
yeah, what's
so
the
then
deductible?
It's kind of a guilty till proven innocent once you, you know, they're happy that you're alive, but yeah. Then the whole investigation starts about what happened.
Yeah. Do they have a deductible on those things that you had to cover or anything, or no?
No, I was good.
Oh, geez. That is crazy. I can't imagine. Doing something like that, but you honor that event. Well, tomorrow you will be again, and you just have a little, just a reminder, like, hey, thanks to the guy upstairs for letting me have another year, kind of thing. That's kind of how you look at it.
Oh, absolutely! It's just one of those things where you train. You know, training kicks in, and then if anybody's ever been in a car accident or been in one of those situations, a thing called temporal distortion. And to this day, I can remember what the HUD said. I can remember flying objects within the cockpit, and you know, when I pull the handles, the way it works is the canopy goes off. The back seater goes first, which was my student, mm-hmm. and then I go, and it's all within about 0.8 seconds. It's a very orchestrated event to keep people from getting burned from the rocket blast and going through the canopy and all that stuff. And so the ACES 2 seat, which was the ejection seat that I had, was just really, really good. They called it a 0-0 seat so that if you had like an engine fire on the ground, without flying, you could pull the handles and it would safely get you to a position where you would have a chute, a couple swings, and survive.
Now, you called that temporal what did you say?
Temporal distortion.
Okay, which is
where everything slows down in your mind. Just,
okay.
Even though it's happening very fast, it's like a slow motion movie at the time.
Got it. I knew that. I just wanted to make sure everyone else did.
Yeah. I got a question for you, Mitch. You know, being involved in a couple of aircraft incidents and accidents from the side of investigation, one of the questions that may have been asked to you is, do you feel that your ejection seat training was enough?
Well, yeah, and I think one of the reasons, there's a couple of things, is one is why didn't the airplane come out of a flat spin, because it should have, because based off of the anti-spin, you know, maneuvers that I was putting with the airplane and the amount of time that I stayed with it. And the other one is the fact that I actually taught the class for ejection seat planning pretty much clicked the box that if I couldn't do it right, probably there's a lot of people that couldn't do it right.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Interesting. So what did they learn from that incident? Do you know? Is there anything like mechanically or anything, or what is that,
well,
an X file,
you know,
or what?
Here's what I learned from it is you get caught up in a big pawn in the game, because what at the time I did this, most of my time was in the light gray, what we called the air to air version, the A, B, and C, and even the D models. My accident was in the E model, which was the dual role air to ground fighter, and that's where I became one of the initial cadre to be an instructor there. And so at the time, it was McDonnell Douglas, then since Boeing, they're marketing the air to air capability of the Strike Eagle as good or as better as its little brother, the air-to-air only version. And, oh, by the way, it also has this night dual role capability of being able to drop precision-guided munitions with lasers and all this other stuff. So when you have an air-to-air accident, it starts to cast doubt on the performance of it in a dual role. And at the same time, we were trying to sell a lot of these airplanes in foreign military sales. So it was a whole political piece that I got caught up in. And they didn't want to acknowledge that the airplane had an issue, which it did, with trapped gas, and there's a little spot where it is susceptible to spin. And then I actually ended up going on the what I called the roadshow to go talk to all of the squadrons about my setup, the technique, and what I did, and the fact that it is unstable in that environment. In fact, almost one year later, a very experienced crew from what we called in the Air Force Fighter Weapons School two of my friends, one was a good friend who I used to fly with in Strike Eagle, and the other one I knew of just as a social acquaintance. They were in the exact same setup that I was at Nellis Air Force Base, where they do red flag, and both of those guys died. In fact, the last thing, just as the airplane was hitting, they had pulled the handle, and the timing sequence had just launched, but it was way too late. They delayed their decision to eject, and two guys died as a result of that.
Wow. Well, that'll definitely make you understand why you celebrate with a shot of vodka tomorrow.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Something was looking out for you, for sure. Well, that's an amazing story. I just feel like we've lived through Top Gun 2 already, which is in production.
Sounds
now.
Like something you should make a movie
There's
of.
There's a lot of risk. I had a lot of near misses. I had a bird strike at night that I thought I was dead. I thought I hit an oil rig. There's all kinds of things. But as an instructor, I felt very responsible for this kid that was sitting in the back seat that was my student. And he got an eyeful that day. I'm sure he still tells that story.
Well, I bet he does. And he should celebrate tomorrow accordingly as well. Watch out for those birds. You don't need any more strikes, because he has birds all around him out on the beach. Thank you so much, Mitch. Great stuff. And we'll end it at that. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.